Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood on the Eshcast.
On Tuesday, the J-pop and alternative hotspot hits your eardrums on No Borders, No Race.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, with the live issues program's post-episode recaps on live right after your favorite shows and taking all of your questions.
It's going down each week, only in the land of Ash. Nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and All Mystery Inc. Proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders or Race. I am your host, King Baby Duck, and today I'm joined by my good buddies from Wicked Anime, Andrew and Jonathan Fleming.
Yo!
I know it's been a little bit. I know Andrew recorded a bit of a cameo in a previous episode a couple weeks ago, but it's been a little bit since you guys have been on. So I figured for this episode, we'll touch on a couple anime series that have been airing this summer. And speaking of which, What a summer for anime so far.
It's really good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really... There's, like, a lot of shows that I'm still watching.
And yeah.
Same here.
Yeah, this is probably the season where I'm following the most shows.
Same. I've got, like... I think I've got, like, almost 10 programs I'm watching that are currently airing in Japan, and none of them have been bad. Like, I can't even say that any of them have been disappointing. Even the ones I thought were gonna suck wound up being good.
Yeah, and there are actually a few I haven't started yet, too. Like, I plan on starting, but just haven't started yet.
Yeah, same.
I mean, the list that I got so far, you know, we'll be talking about a couple of these shows. We got Monster Musume, Ninja Slayer, Overlord, Actually I Am, Gangsta, Shame on Netta, Seiyu's Life, Bikini Warriors, Prison School, Kimoto, Omaro-chan, and Aohara X Machine Gun. I was expecting at least half of those to be terrible, but then they just wound up not being terrible.
Yeah, same. I'm on Aohara Machine Gun, Prison School, Gangsta, Bikini Warriors, Ushio, and Tora. The continuation of Food Wars. And the ones I haven't started yet are Actually I Am and Charlotte.
You'll be fairly... Let me just say, because we won't be talking about it on here, but I Am is surprisingly good. Like, when I first saw the character design for it, I really wasn't feeling it. But then when you start watching the show, it's actually quite original in some places.
That was actually where I was interested in it, was the character design. That's like what made me be like, maybe I will check it out. And then, like that was like the whole like originality of being like, oh, she's a vampire.
Yeah,
like, that was kind of like
that's just our thing. Vampires, ugh.
Yeah.
But it's a better vampire. I promise you, it's not one of those other like vampire shows like Rosario and Vampire or anything like that. It's much better.
All right,
but we're going to be talking about two of these shows on this episode. We're going to be talking about Monster Musume and Shimoneta, a boring world where the concept of dirty jokes doesn't exist. And that title alone is a mouthful. But before we begin, we are going to start off our playlist. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these albums and EPs from cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. Now, the first artist we're going to be playing goes by the name of Air Oi, who did the theme song for one of our favorite shows, Kill la Kill.
Mm-hmm.
And she just released a great new album. It's called Dozu. I think that's how you pronounce it. It looks like Dozu. It features a couple of the songs that were featured, I believe, on Sword Art Online and a couple of other series that she has done the theme song for. And this particular track that we're going to be playing is called Bright Future.
Bright Future. Keep me on.
jealousy. That was X-Japan with Stab Me in the Back. After many years in the works, X-Japan will finally release a new record on March 11th, 2016. So I'm really crossing my fingers that it was worth the wait and not like a, you know, Chinese democracy disappointment. Yeah. Yeah. The first anime that we're going to be talking about is a show, a kind of new sort of harem comedy that's out called Monster Musume.
Now, the thing about Monster Musume, actually, is it's actually one of the most famous harem mangas to be created. Like, Jonathan and I are avid followers of J-List and Peter Payne and all of his products, and he posts more than his fair share of Monster Musume manga.
Oh, yeah.
And it has an insane following as far as the manga goes, and they finally released the anime for it.
Yeah, well, look at how crazy popular it was. There was a 23-foot love pillow of Mia that was sold at this weekend's Comic-Con, cost $800, and they sold out of them in less than an hour.
Yeah,
absolutely brilliant.
I'm not surprised. And we actually talk about that on our show, too.
I mean, what would you... Where would you put something like that? Like, I can't... You guys have been in my man cave. You guys have seen my bedroom. I couldn't fit half of that into my spaces.
I do not have a 23-foot space worth of bed.
Yeah, let alone an apartment or a space in Japan.
Yeah, right?
I mean, what could you do with it? I mean, if we were to buy something like that, I mean, yeah, it would be great for, like, a visual gag for one video of, like, the three of us carrying it around, but that's not worth $800.
Yeah, you'd have to be a really big fan of Monster Musume.
Absolutely.
Really big fan of really big pillows.
Yeah. I don't even know where you get, like, a custom pillow for... Like, it's probably $800 because they have to put so many of the Dakimakura pillows in it.
What it is, it's one massively long Dakimakura pillow.
Are you sure?
That's like, what I read. It looks like it's just one massively long... It's the kind of that you can, wrap around yourself and... Because I was looking at a video of it, of the making of it, and it is one massively long pillow.
Wow. That's awesome.
It's crazy, but again, I don't know what you would do with it. But anyways, the show Monster Musume, it's about the Interspecies Cultural Exchange Act. It's a special act where mythical creatures can roam Japan so long as they have a host member with them.
Essentially a homestay.
Yeah, it is a homestay. It's kind of like, you know, having foreign exchange students stay in your home, only instead of foreign exchange students, they're cute monster girls.
Let's cut to the chase. It's a fetish show.
Yeah. Yes, it is. And poor Kimihito Kurusu, who never even signed up for this program, finds himself acting as a host to many of these creatures. We already talked about Mia, who's part snake. We've got Poppy, who's part bird. Saria, who's part horse. Sue, the slime girl. And Meryl, the mermaid.
Yeah.
All under one roof.
Lamia, Harpy, Centaur, Mermaid, Slime Girl.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the day this episode comes out, we're gonna get the episode with the Spider Girl.
Right. Because we're only up to episode 6.
Episode 6?
Yeah, I think it's episode 6.
I thought we were on 7.
We may have to double check that. But anyways, my first question for you guys is, do you have a favorite cast member of this, or to put it bluntly?
Oh, heck yeah. Sue is totally my favorite.
Well, Sue's your favorite?
Yeah, Sue is cool. I really like Sue because she's cute and funny, but I really have, like, just a liking for Mia. Like, Mia is just so cute.
Yeah.
Most of them have that sort of adorableness, but I think my favorite character of the Monster Girls so far is Poppy.
Yeah, I like Poppy too.
She's just funny. Yeah, because there's that sort of, like, innocent attitude of hers that makes her gags a lot funnier.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, I really feel like they gave every character in it, like, a really special quirk to make them all interesting in their own way, which is what was really beneficial. Because I like a little bit of all the characters in the show. And Except for the mermaid. I'm really not digging the mermaid at all.
Yeah, the mermaid seems a little bit of a...
I just thought it was super hilarious, though. Like, it's just like, oh, well, I mean, as long as you fall in love with me and then tragically, like, don't fall in love with me, I'm totally cool. You know, like...
Which is so Hans Christian Andersen.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, that's... I don't know. She just seems really thrown in there. Yeah. Like, when we get to the spider one, she's gonna have a purpose because she's kind of like a faux villain that's gonna be not a villain at some point. But she has a purpose, whereas they just kind of threw in the mermaid last minute there.
Yeah, because when you saw them building the place, they thought they were building it for Sue. Because of her being the slime girl and such.
Yeah.
And I'll say, too, Sue is kind of like my second favorite out of all of them. Because there's that little visual gag that happens in the introduction of Sue where you see her and Poppy playing Nintendo Wii. Does them just going, Wii! 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 And I don't know. I just thought it was just funny. Just silly. Yeah.
Sue's got that charm to her where, like, it's funny how her and Poppy are like a tag team. Like, they're just like a comedy tag team, like, and that's their purpose.
Yeah. They're kind of like the, what was it, the dog and the monkey in Edotama?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I didn't even think of that.
So, well, that leads me to my next question. Which do you guys prefer for the characters? Do you prefer the characters of Monster Musume or the characters over Edotama?
Edotama.
Yeah,
I gotta say Edotama, too, because because
they have legs.
This is so not my fetish. Monster Musume. I love the show to death, but Monster Girls are not my thing at all. Animal Girls are always cool. Monster Girls, no.
Not so much.
And that's Jonathan saying that. I didn't even touch on, like, you know, just like, there's Animal Girls and Edotama. I'm good with that. But, man, like, that's, like, always been my fetish. Like, I've never been a boob guy. I've never been a butts guy. I like legs. Like, yeah. And, like, it's like, and actually, believe it or not, this is kind of a spoiler, but not really. If you search up Monster Musume manga and stuff like that, there's actually a really famous scene where they're all discussing, like, that. And they're just, like, you know, because they're all going through the marriage thing right now.
Right.
And one of the huge scenes that is going to come up is everybody is there, and then including Smith-san. And they're essentially like, well, who are you going to marry? What's your fetish? And everybody's like, do you like boobs? Do you like faces? Do you like necks? And he goes, no, I like legs. And then Smith-san goes, ha, that's me.
This show's crazy. This show, Monster Musume, is a bit of a quirky title. And it was one of those shows that I thought wasn't going to be that good. But, my God, it is funny.
Yeah.
Like, there are things on this show that I shouldn't be laughing at, but I just can't help but laugh.
I totally agree. I totally agree with you where I was just like, it's going to be okay. Like, it's going to
be a fetish show. Yeah, that's
like,
what I expect.
Yeah, it's going to be a fetish show. It's going to be that niche audience. But then they're like, you know what? Let's actually work hard and make this entertaining.
Yeah, I was going to watch it for the fact that it's a really famous manga. And that the subject matter of, wow, this is so weird.
It's weird, yeah.
But it's good. Like, I like it. And the thing is, too, like, yes, it's a really incredibly sexual show. Like, there's a lot of sexual content.
Oh, yeah.
But it's purposefully there. Like, it's there because we understand that this is a fetish show and, haha, this is a weird thing because they're monster girls.
Yeah. And speaking of which, too, they really push the bounds of censorship on this show. There's not really much censorship going on at all.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they just released Blu-ray picks for the upcoming show, and they do add some things to it. Let's just leave it at that.
Well, because the manga, there's, like, tons of nudity in the manga.
Mm-hmm.
Like, tons. Like, every panel.
Every panel.
Yeah. One of the things that I find strange about this show, one of the elements that they add into it, is the fact that the main character, the dude, he always has those white, voidless eyes.
Thank you. I was going to bring that up because it kind of throws me off sometimes when he looks like that.
Me too, because when I see those eyes, it gives me the impression of cluelessness. Like, that's what that is supposed to symbolize. But he's not. he's really smart, and he pertains to all the girls appropriately. And you know, he's not a dumb guy. He's really smart. He cares for everybody, and he's really competent. But whenever they give him those eyes, which is like 95% of his screen time, it just goes to show that he's clueless of some sort. Either that, or I'm thinking that he's just so overwhelmed by the entire situation that he's just turned his brain off.
Yeah, he's switched off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another good point, because it kind of reminds me of like the eyes when you look at the band Gorillaz, when you look at like 2D and Russell.
Yeah.
Russell's eyes are completely white, and sometimes 2Ds can be, depending on the situation. But it does sort of make it seem like that Kimihito either is very clueless about what's going on, or he's just like, I really don't care anymore.
Yeah, well, because it's a Super D technique that they use in Food Wars all the time. And mostly it's used on Soma, the main character. And all Soma wants to do is cook, but he's clueless to everything else around him.
Yeah, he doesn't know technical terms. He doesn't know, like, the prices of things.
He doesn't know why people hate him.
Yeah, all that stuff. And whenever they explain it, he's got those white, voidless eyes.
Yep.
And what is this thing you call a fork?
Yeah, kind of in a sense. But anyways, that's where they use it. But in this show, it's all the time.
Yeah, all the time. Just all the time. It's weird. Mm-hmm. And they didn't do that for the first couple episodes. Like, the first two episodes was fine, but once they had, like, three characters, it just kept going.
Yeah, I think that the third episode when they added Centuria was probably my least favorite.
Yeah,
I'm not digging Centuria at all.
Not a lot of people do like Centuria. Although I will say the punchline at the end of that episode when she's introduced, it's a lot more funnier than it deserves to be.
Yeah, see, I like her personality type, but I don't like her character. Or, like, I don't like her design.
Yeah, and what's up with her? Like, there was a splash screen that I saw one time where she was holding a towel. Like, it was doing that thing, oh, I just stepped out of the bath, I'm holding a towel in front of myself, you know? And she was holding one over, like, a towel over her chest, but then she was also holding one down by her front two legs, where her abdomen is, and, like, or a regular horse's abdomen or chest cavity would be, but she's holding a towel down there like she's covering something. Is that, like, does she have two vaginas or something like that?
It's on our show.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, because, I mean, if you think about it, like, Mia, she's got all of her parts in the same place. It's just, like, her legs are connected together. Poppy's completely normal, you know, I don't know about the fish, but
Sue is amorphous.
Yeah, Sue is amorphous, and I mean, Centuria, it should be obvious as to where, you know, where her anatomy works
really
out.
Really weird to think about.
Right.
Yeah.
It would be right where her tail should be, but
right.
I don't know.
But I don't know, certain artwork says otherwise.
Yeah.
Please explain.
I don't think Stephen Hawking can even explain.
Now, bad joke there.
Yes, very bad joke. But you know, there was one moment in the show that it actually made me fall out of my chair laughing. And it was probably one of the dumbest things. So there's the episode where Poppy is about to lay her egg, and there's that perverted cameraman.
Yeah.
And the cameraman finds the shedded skin of Mia, because in the previous segment she was shedding her skin and Kimihito was helping her out. And the perverted cameraman is like trying to convince Mia to sell that skin, and there's a moment of him going, oh, think of all the money you can make, and think of what you could buy, think of how much you can impress your husband, I mean boyfriend. And then you see this little image that pops up in her head with this big, giant sack of money and that big, goofy, stupid grin on her face.
Yeah.
And the thing that made me laugh the most was the amount that was listed on that bag of money.
I didn't even notice that.
It said 1 bazillion yen.
Nice.
That's like the most cartoonish amount of money you can fathom. And I've never seen a Japanese cartoon actually do that.
That's a good point.
Even though it roughly comes out to like $10 American.
Yeah.
Actually, no. I think the Japanese yen is a little bit strong at the moment, so maybe more than $10.
I don't know. Last time I checked, the Japanese yen was $1.25 American.
Hey, hang on. Are we about to go into the category or the? Are we about to figure out how much a bazillion yen is?
A bazillion
really
is not a real number.
It's not a real number.
That's what I'm saying. We were going into that territory. We were going into math and statistics and stuff like that. So
this is not Spice and Wolf. We're not going to be going into the economy yet.
Ask Spice and Wolf season 3. They get a bazillion yen. What's a bazillion yen
in euros? Because they're in like European worlds over there.
But what has really stood out for you guys about Matsu Musume? What have been like the moments that have made you laugh the most?
Man, I don't know. That's a really good question. There hasn't really been anything that has really made me laugh one point over the other.
It's just
that the show is just so uber charming. The art and the art's good, but also the writing is really good for a harem. I haven't seen writing like this in a long time.
It's actually like a show where I'm genuinely hoping that we get it here in America, that we get an international release of it.
Sentai Filmworks has licensed it.
Then perfect. I'm gonna get it. And because it's a show that I'm like, wow, it's another Tuesday. Monster Musume is coming out. Like, I have to watch it, you know? Like, it's so weird. Like, that Monster Musume is one of those shows. Like, I mean, to me, it's Food Wars. Like, if Food Wars comes out, I'm watching Food Wars. I don't care who's there. You know, but Monster Musume is doing that. Where it's just like, oh, I have to watch the next episode of Monster Musume.
Yeah, and there's no real pinpoint reason why. There's just a lot of really good elements in it.
Yeah,
that's why I can't really...
It's just fun to watch. Like, Simply put, as a good description for the show, it's fun to watch.
Yeah, yes. I mean, that's why I can't really pick out a spot in particular where I say that I like it, why I like it is because the whole thing is a really good show.
If you rewatch a couple episodes, you'll look and see other visual gags that really didn't stick out the previous time you watched it.
Yeah.
Like, there's this, like, in that same episode with Poppy laying an egg, there's the moment where she announces that she's about to do that, and everybody beats up Kimihito.
Yeah. Was a good gag. I like that.
Yeah, that was great. I did catch that the first time. That was funny.
But the thing that stuck out for me another time where I had to rewind it was Sue's reaction while she's holding the stick.
Oh, yeah.
She just seems so happy just to be holding something. Like, yeah, I got a stick. Yeah,
No, she's just copying everybody else. But, like, the funny thing is that's actually kind of a plot hole because they beat the crap out of him. But wouldn't that mean that they get deported because they beat the crap out of him?
Yeah, that's a good point.
That is a good point.
Not supposed to harm humans, and they just did. So.
Yeah, like very blatantly and belligerently. and they completely ignored it. So, yeah.
That's how angry they must have been.
Yeah, but Smith-san knows everything. Like, regardless, she somehow knows everything.
Yeah, speaking of which, what is up with Miss Smith? Why do you think she keeps doing this to Kimihito?
That's a really, really good question. There is no answer to...
See, and as of right now, it's just like, I don't know. Like, you know,
plot progression?
Yeah, like... Who knows?
Yeah, how else are you gonna get another monster girl in the house? I mean, and that's the other thing too that you mentioned that, you know, Smith-san knows everything. Well, Smith-san knows that Sue's there illegally.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
So
yeah, she's pulling strings, obviously, because that's what she...
But that's another question as to why is she pulling strings?
Yeah, well, because she's the one who's like, oh, you're going to have to marry one of them, or you can marry one of them. Which is weird, because what the whole seeking out the manga thing has suggested to me is that she is also a harem candidate.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that's an interesting point, too, is that maybe she's being so particular to him because she has the opportunity to marry off one of them, and so she can, because that's her purpose. She's doing that study. She is leading that branch of interspecies marriage. So, and so that would be her purpose as to why she'd be so lenient with.
Well, what if she actually likes him and just keeps giving him monster girls so that she can visit him? That's a really far-fetched thing, I'm just saying. Yeah. You know?
I mean, that could be the possibility. Like, why? Because there wouldn't be any other reason for her to visit unless she was bringing in somebody else to move in with Kimihito.
Yeah. So, but I did know that she is potentially a harem candidate too, because she's gonna be the human one, you know. So there's like all these monster girls that are part of the harem, but then of course they have to throw a human in there so that it balances it out.
Plus, we've already seen her in her bra and panties too. So
yeah, so you know,
yes. So that's kind of a little bit of a hint of it.
All right.
But my final thoughts on Monster Musume, yes, Monster Musume is a show that is much better than it deserves to be. Because normally I'm not a big fan of these kind of harem shows like High School D&D and To Love Ru. But because it's so funny and entertaining, I can't stop watching it. It's just, as you guys said, it's fun. It is fun and enjoyable to watch Monster Musume. Alright folks, let's get back to the playlist. And let me ask you guys something, Andrew Jonathan.
Yeah?
Has this happened to you? You hear about a band, not just any band, but you hear about an awesome one, but you put off listening to them because you claim you just don't have the time. Finally, you find out about their latest album. It's making critics' jaws drop all over the place, so you decide to finally give them a listen. And after hearing them, your first thought is, why wasn't I listening to these people in the first place?
Yes, Limp Bizkit.
No, because I don't listen to music that has critics.
I say this because this just happened to me with a band from New Jersey called Titus Andronicus. A couple weeks ago, they released their newest album, the triple vinyled punk rock opera, The Most Lamentable Tragedy, a story about a manic depressive, a doppelganger that comes to turn his life even more upside down, and a courtship with a last name Shabon. This album is like the top contender right now for my pick for 2015's album of the year. It is amazing.
Wow.
So right now, I'm going to spin a song about turning your amp all the way up from The Most Lamentable Tragedy. This is Titus Andronicus with Dined Out.
To a shot count, figure out love's sign as a choir mouse. And I'll make a man to move away. like that. It's like that. It's like that.
That was Shaka Zombie with It's Like That. Sadly, the album that it was on, Journey of Foresight, is no longer in print. So if you're lucky enough to find yourself a copy for a good price, grab it, because you'll probably never find it again. So, Andrew, what would happen if you were to wake up tomorrow and found out that it was illegal to own all those doujinshis that you own?
Good question. You would lead a revolution.
I
don't think so. I don't think I'd just hide them somewhere else. You have to just change their hiding spot every day, you know. It'd be a labor of love.
Well, I bring up this question because that's one of the premises of this anime, Shimaneta, A Boring World Where the Concept of Dirty Jokes Doesn't Exist, comes into play. It's a weird sort of thing. Like, what would happen if a country were to crack down on porn, risque language, and other things considered lewd, to the point where people were forced to wear collars that monitored every word they say and whatever they were doing with their hands? This show is... It's a crazy premise, but it's like Monster Musume. It's a lot of fun to watch.
See, I have the opposite opinion, where I think Monster Musume is perverted and sexual in all the right ways. Shimaneta is doing it in all the wrong ways. All right,
that's a good opinion. Can you jump into what do you think they're doing wrong with the show?
Yeah, absolutely. It's got a message, like it's got a morals message that it's like telling society that being bad is okay. Like that's the message it's sending. So where Monster Musume is like taking the ridiculousness of how fun it is, like how and how weird of a concept it is to be like, oh, there's monster girls, this is crazy, sexual things are happening. Shimaneta is like, hey, here's a hypothetical situation where all this sexual stuff doesn't happen, and this is what would happen if people didn't know about it. And it's just like, and then so they're taking it too far, as in like, oh, people are going to become rapists. People are going to like not know what to do with their genitals. And it's just like, that's just not the case. Like, it's just way too far fetched. And like, and they're throwing in sexual perversion to be sexually perverted.
Yes, that is a good point. Oh yeah, I forgot to talk about maybe more a bit of the premise of the show, Shimaneta. Because there is the whole thing about them trying to crack down. They're trying to find all this hidden stuff. They're trying to make it so it's okay to look at this stuff. But the government is kind of like cracking down to the point where they're going to force people to wear chastity belts.
Yeah.
It is a very risque show, and you're right, it is sexual for the sake of being sexual. It's kind of in vein of, I don't know if you've ever seen the movies of John Waters, like Pink Flamingos, Dirty Shame, Hairspray.
No, can't say I have.
No. Yeah.
Really? Oh, okay. Well, his films are like famous for being very, very risque and sexual, but they're like critically acclaimed. Everybody loves them because they're just those types of films that you leave your brain at the door and just enjoy what you're watching.
Huh.
So there's this whole premise of Blue Snow, SOX, and these students trying to do what's sort of right, sort of... by trying to do what they think is right by doing what is wrong. Is that what you would say it is that they're trying to do?
Yeah, and that's where my confusion of what's the message of the show really comes from. It's just like, so they're trying to teach that bad morals are good? Like, or...
Well, from my opinion of the viewer, and by the way, I haven't spoken up for my opinion on the show, but I hate it so much. I hate this show so much. It's my least favorite show this entire season. So yeah, I've only seen the first episode, and that's all I could stomach. I couldn't get past it. It was just like so awful that it was just ugh, no more. Okay, from what I gathered from the first episode, which there's a lot of exposition in the first episode, is from the viewer's point. Anybody who's into the anime culture, or even knows Japan a lot, there's a lot of sexual content in the entire culture of Japan. And so a viewer of the show who's into that, Japanese culture and knows of it well, they're going to find it as a good comical joke saying, ah, ha, ha, there's, this whole society of people that don't even know what sex is. But then there's this other side of Japan, the side of Japan with the declining birth rate and the whole thing about families being hush-hush about things, and they would see this show as taboo because they see that sexual society of Japan as taboo, and this show is insulting them.
Yeah,
that's what it's doing. It's insulting them. It's throwing it in their face, saying what you believe is wrong. That's what I'm seeing about it. And it's not wrong. You don't have, like, that's why I think I have such a disdain for this show, is because, when you look at what they're
they're saying in this message, people who you know, I think it's weird that if you just want to completely shut sex out of your life, that's totally not right. But even still, people who want to be hush-hush about their private life, because that's what it is a private life, mm-hmm. they're not wrong for it.
No, they're not wrong for it. I feel it's not making fun of people who are hush-hush about it. It's not making fun of people who are... I don't think it's making fun of people who are celibate. I feel like it's making fun of rather people in politics who are trying to censor every single thing that they claim to be wrong and immoral.
Right, it's kind of attacking the whole thing of, hey, we're gonna censor manga, we're gonna censor, basically the whole internet censorship thing that's happening all around the world.
Yeah, well, and then like the banning of all the different products as well. Because remember, Japan tried to ban like anything of like that displayed high school girls and basically people underage. Yeah. They tried to censor all that, but of course, manga artists find loopholes and everything. That's what it's going for. But I think the show is taking the concept a little too far and being like, people have to have sex right now. Like, that's what it's kind of shoving in people's faces.
Yeah, and the other thing about this show is, too, everybody knows about sex. There is no possible way that there's even a society of people that could grow up not even knowing what the word sex is. Yeah. You know? And yes, I get that. That's the joke of the show. But it's just so far-fetched and impossible concept to cut something that has been biologically...
infused into people's minds.
Since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
Since, like, it's just an animalistic, like... primal thing that we know what it is.
And the thing that throws me off is that this is like 10 years after that these laws are put into place. I'm pretty sure that a lot of these people that are in the schools right now already know what some of the stuff is that they're claiming that they don't know.
10 years is not enough time.
If it was like 25, maybe even 50 years.
I would even give it 100.
Would give it 100? You'd go the Attack on Titan numbers?
Yeah, like 200 years is when people completely forget about it and have no idea what they're doing.
But in order to even do that, you would have to like say there's somebody who had a kid at that time. There would have to be, there's got to be a really dark underlying thing behind the show. They would have to kill the parents of the kid. Yeah. So that they wouldn't know what's second, because how else will you have babies?
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, too, is that's what they're saying. They're trying to, like, keep it out of their heads, like, how babies are made. Because that's what everybody's like, how are babies made, like, in the show? I don't get it. Like, I have these feelings inside me, and I don't know how to display them. And the thing is, like, they're not allowed to have sex, I guess. But the children are alive somehow, like, and like, so if like a married couple wants to have a child, then is that illegal? Or like, I'm just so confused. Yeah, as
that's
to, like,
actually a good question. Do they do it sort of like where it was the Matrix, where they just build babies from eggs?
Or does the government like have to sanction like when you're going to have a baby? Like, it's like, okay, you can have sex now, you married couple, or something, or like something like that. I don't know. Like,
yeah, there's just so many questions that arise from the show. That's probably why that's probably 99% of the reason why I can't get on board with the show, is just because there are so many illogical questions.
Well, and I on a personal basis, I just kind of feel insulted by the fact that it's like, you have to have sex right now. Like, and I just don't like that shoved in my face. And like, I'm kind of getting that vibe from this show.
It's weird. I don't get that sort of vibe. Myself personally, I just feel like the vibe that I get for it is, hey, this is porn. It's okay to look at that. You can look at these dirty stuff. You can say dirty things. Because that's the other thing, too. You can't even say dirty words. So, like, comedians like Louis C.K. and Lisa Lampanelli, they couldn't have careers if they were living in Japan. They would be arrested because of the material that they do on stand-up.
I would be so happy if Lisa Lampanelli didn't have a career.
Louis C.K. can stay, though.
Louis C.K. can stay, but Lisa Lampanelli, no. Just like, that would be great.
Well, who would be a better female comedian to use in her place, then?
It's so mixed in its messaging, because I'm trying to understand whether or not it's like, it's praising bad morals. Because, I mean, we do have to understand as a society
that people have different views on life, right? So, and that one's kind of forcing, like, that everybody has one understanding. Like, the show is, like, is essentially saying everybody has one way of thinking.
And it's wrong.
And it's wrong. But also that this, like, if people don't want to, what if people don't want to look at porn anyway?
Right.
Like, you know what, like, I mean,
that's okay.
Yeah. Like, yes. In my opinion, yes, looking at porn is wrong. Like, that's how I was brought up and that's like a lustful thing. And so it's just like, okay, I really don't have a problem with the society at all. You know, like, so it's just weird. Is the messaging like bad morals are okay, or I just don't get it? Like, what's going on with this show? And I do want to go on the record is I have still seen every episode that's come out so far. I still keep up with it every maybe this episode will be good, and it's just not hitting me right, you know?
Well, like something must be drawing you in each time. Like, what do you think it is that's making you come back and watch every episode?
I want to see where the, like, I want to see if they'll finally give me a message that I agree with. Like, but right now it's so lost in its messaging that every time I watch the show, I'm like, oh, maybe they'll say something that I agree with. But every single time I watch the show, they say something that I disagree with, and I walk away disappointed.
Huh.
Yeah.
That is interesting, this is weird. It's not often where we're both in opposite ends of an anime.
Well, that's why I think this is such a good discussion.
Yeah, because for me, I like the show. Yeah, it's funny, it's naughty, it pushes boundaries, but I don't feel like it kind of gets in your face, but it's not in the in-your-face sort of way where I feel like they're chastising one person or another. For me, it feels like that they're chastising people who are basically saying that what you're doing is wrong and you should not be doing it. I feel like it's more of people shoving their morals and values down one's throats, and this time around it's the other people going, all right, you like having this shoved down your throat, here, we'll do this to you now.
That's kind of an interesting moral standing too, because that's, you know, kind of how wars start. You know, you push one way, push the other. Well, and that's essentially what's happening is this show is saying, like, well, it's kind of ignoring the fact that people have different opinions.
Yeah,
that's kind of what, because this show is a symbolism for things, you know, like the creator has an idea and he has his view on life, and he's symbolizing his view on life with this show, and he's not taking into account that people have different opinions. This is just his opinion, and it's being.
I feel like that if we were to be face to face with the creator of the show, he would just be like, "I have no idea what you're talking about. I just wanted to make a funny show."
Yeah, I just wanted to be funny.
Yeah,
yeah.
That probably is what he's doing.
It probably is. You know, I gotta be honest with you. It probably is what he's doing. However, there's always a message to be taken away from everything in media.
Yeah. Well, I mean, freaking the last episode taught you how to make an own a hole. Like, how to make your own own a hole out of potato starch.
Yeah, that's a little gross.
Yeah, like they actually like went through step by step recipes, teaspoons, tablespoons, how much like cornstarch, how much time you put it in the microwave for, and then you can eat it afterwards because it's edible.
Oh, that's gross.
Yeah,
I'm one episode behind because I've been watching on Hulu and they premiere each episode 1 week after it airs on the Funimation website.
Okay, yeah, I'm caught up on it, man, because it's on Crunchyroll.
Oh, it is?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm stealing it. You can cut that out if you want.
No, that's a good comment.
Stealing is wrong, Andrew.
You know what I do like the most about Shimonetta? I like its end theme song because it's got that sort of 1970s Yatterman theme song superhero type of vibe to it.
Yeah, I agree. The best part of the show is that ending theme song. I will absolutely agree with that. That is totally true.
It's catchy. It makes you want to dance. It's probably dirty because there hasn't been any translations of it yet on the Hulu version. It may be in your magical anime tree version where you get your version of it.
No, there isn't. You mean like when they're switching all the letters around?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's no translation of what they actually mean. But it's really funny, all the different things that they censor. Like, because there's, they censor their hands a lot.
Yeah, and I don't understand what the hand symbol is that they're making. Like, what? It just looks like an O, like they're just making an O. I mean, there's, nope. I don't think that there's anything.
Okay, so Evan, put your hand in a fist.
Yep.
Now put your thumb in between your index finger and your middle finger so that your thumb is poking out in between them. That is a dirty sign in Japan. It's in a lot of doujins it's in a lot of doujinshi, and it's a very like dirty. It's almost if you were to flip someone off in here in America.
I'm 30 years old. How did I not know this symbol?
So that is what they're censoring. It means nothing to us in here in America. Absolutely nothing to us here in America. But in Japan, they have to censor that.
Here's, you know what, that brings, that this reminds me of something that I saw when I was over in Japan. There was an ad for, it was either for a karaoke machine or for some makeup, and it featured J-pop artist Anna Tsuchiya, and she did a symbol. She had her middle and index fingers extended, and she put her tongue right between them, and that was shown on morning television.
Again, because it means nothing to them. But to us, we're like, what? That's why they can show people flipping each other off in anime. Like, they don't censor that. It's because it doesn't mean anything to them in Japan.
Actually, I've seen a couple anime series that they've done that in. They've actually censored out the middle finger.
Really? I have not. But either way, yeah, that's what they're doing. That's like the symbol of socks is that thumb and fingers gesture. And I don't know what it means. I assume it just has some sexually explicit meaning to it.
I think it kind of looks like a vagina if that's what it is.
Maybe.
But even still, that's what it is. And they're censoring it. So there's your culture shock for the day.
Thank you very much for that. I thought whole 23-foot love pillow that sold out in less than an hour would be my culture shock. But you guys didn't like it. I liked it. And you know what? That's the great thing about being anime critics. We may agree, we may disagree on some things, but we still love the genre for what it is. And yeah. You know what? If we liked everything, then guess what? That makes a very boring show.
Yeah, I gotta say too that, you know, even though I stand against it, I always tell people to still watch shows because I mean there are some people out there who watch shows for shock factor and just the fact that the show is really shocking and some of the stuff that they do in it.
Yeah, like how much of that's going to be uncensored in the home release?
Oh, yeah. And even still, like the stuff that they don't censor, like the Anna's love fluids coming out between her legs, like that's like hentai stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, holy crap. Like,
they actually showed that in an episode of Queen's Blade back in 2008, I think.
Jeez. Yeah, that's hentai level stuff, but they're not censoring. They censor it like half the time, like the liquid falling between her legs and then like under her dress.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow. All right. So, I guess for the conclusion of Shimaneta, some people may like it, some people may not.
It's a very extreme show, and it's very unapologetic. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess that's why I applaud it for being unapologetic. Kind of like with like a show like Archer, where that's very unapologetic with their humor. But I know it's two totally different styles of humor, but at the same time, it's that sort of shock value sort of humor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me personally, because I did mention John Waters at the beginning of this review, I would like to see him fly to Japan, get the rights to this, and make like a live-action version of this.
Well, see, and I'm actually kind of terrified because Funimation, of course Funimation picks this up because they pick up all the filthiest shows that they can.
Yeah.
And I'm just so afraid that I'm going to hear like my favorite voice actresses saying like these horrible, filthy things, and I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Well, we've already seen Panty and Stocking with Garter Belt get released.
Yeah.
So we already know who will read what scripts, you know?
Yeah, and I can countless voice actors and voice actresses unscripted, like, already are just, like, they have filthy mouths, but, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But even still, like, it's just like, oh, you're so cute, but I don't want to hear you saying these bad things. It's going to go into some weird, like, Perfect Blue kind of stuff. It's just like, no, you should not be in that rape scene.
All right. So, I don't know how to end that.
I think that's a good spot right there.
Yeah, that's a good spot.
Why don't we change the subject and move to the next song on the playlist then?
How about?
All right. Coming up next, we've got The Pillows, and this is a song from their very first album, Moon Gold, released in 1991. This is What to Sleep For.
Thank you.
Live Iron Frenzy with the Zen and the Art of Xenophobia on their album Engine of a Million Plots. Five Iron Frenzy is my favorite band of all time, and I'm super happy that Evan would spin that for me.
Not a problem. And we're so happy that we get to see him live in concert.
Dude, yeah. If you guys are local to Boston, just keep in mind that tickets are surprisingly still available for the Middle East show in November 21st for the Five Iron Frenzy, and they're playing with the Toasters.
Yeah.
What? So happy doesn't even describe it.
Time out. Wait. How are their tickets still available? You know how hard I had to fight for those tickets?
It's because every single Five Iron Frenzy fan that we've been to we've been to three Five Iron Frenzy concerts, and we saw the same exact people there in the audience every single time. And those people were on the internet with us, struggling to get those tickets. We're just like, why isn't this working? And then, like, even for a second, like, me and my buddy Victor from work, who's going with us, we were just like, like standing there screaming at the computer. And then one time we refreshed the page and it said sold out. We're like, like screaming. And then all of a sudden we refreshed the page again and it wasn't sold out anymore. We're like, I can't handle this. Like, my heart cannot handle this.
Let me tell you something. Tickets for Roger Waters of Pink Floyd, tickets for Rammstein, these were easier to get than the Five Iron Frenzy ones.
Yeah. I know, I was kind of hoping that it would be like, well, good, they are sold out by now. They should be. We struggled hard to get those tickets, but they're not sold out.
Yeah.
So please, listeners in the Boston area, go buy the rest of the tickets so we can feel good for all the struggling that we went through.
Our crazy struggle and tantrums. Or don't buy the tickets so I can be at that concert all by myself and I can hang out with them.
Now, before we go, hey, we've got comments!
Comments!
It took us 99 episodes, but we finally have some reader and listener feedback!
Nice. I'm pretty excited to find out what they said.
Yep, and it all involves this week's subjects of Monster Musume and Shimonetta.
Cool.
I asked them what they thought of these two shows, and here is what they said. So, Shawnee B said, man, everything in Monster Girls is great, except for Centauria. Loving this show so much. Shimonetta is great too. Kaijo is just great. Top waifu material. So do you agree or disagree with some of this stuff that Shawnee B is saying?
I actually agree with him definitely on all the Monster Musume stuff, you know?
Yeah.
My thoughts exactly. Centauria, get rid of her.
Who's his waifu in...
Shimonetta? Kaijo.
Which one's that?
Is that Blue Snow?
See, that's what I'm hoping, because if he's talking about the little illustrator girl, she's just creepy. If he's talking about what's her name?
Blue Snow,
then yeah, I agree.
Yep, she is top waifu material.
She is best girl.
Yeah, she is, like, she's probably the best part of that show.
Oh, yeah, I would definitely agree. And then for the other comment that we have is from Damien Sahai. Monster Girls is awesome, but it's really strange seeing hot monsters. Why is that dude still alive? And I'm going to stop right there because that is a good question. Why is he still alive?
Yeah, he's been crushed by Mia. Poppy dropped him out of the sky. Well, he was kicked by Centauri, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
Which would kill anybody. Sue drowned him.
Yeah.
You know, like...
That would be the worst.
Yeah, that would totally be the worst. Being killed by Sue. Especially because she doesn't know.
Yeah, she doesn't
She's not conscious. I mean, at least when Centauri kicked him, she was like, oh my gosh, he just kicked a human! But Sue had no idea that she was killing him.
And besides, this guy has it completely wrong. They're not hot monsters. They're cute monsters.
Yeah. They're kawaii days.
Kawaii days.
And the second part of that from Damien is Shimonetta is so freaking funny. I love the crazy Anna Senpai. And you know what? I would actually disagree because the parts currently about Anna are really creeping me the hell out.
Yeah, they are wicked because she went total stalker. All she did was get kissed and she went total stalker.
Yeah, it wasn't like it was, oh, a flower blossoming of an awakening of sexual feelings. No, she turned into a succubus.
Well, I mean, and it got like explained really well. It's just like she doesn't know the difference between love and lust. Like, she's lusting, not loving. Like, you know, so, and she, because she thinks she's in love. She's like, this is, must be what love is. And
nope.
Yeah.
No.
They don't know what lust is, and that's what she's doing.
It's just like that White Stripes song. You don't know what love is. You just do as you're told. Sorry. My singing voice today isn't at top notch today. My apologies.
Ran out of the Canada Dry.
Yes, I ran out of the Canada Dry. So, that about does it for reader comments, which came from us from the users over at Anime Amino, which is a great website and community for fans of anime. I use it. The Wicked Anime Guys use it.
Yep. I can't wait to upgrade my phone so I can finally use it. I'm running the Wicked Anime page on that by myself.
Yeah, so John's got the Wicked Anime page. I'm just like, my phone's too old, guys. I'm sorry. As much as I would use it all the time.
Yeah, it's great. Because here's the thing. Like, I get more comments and likes from that than I do Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr combined when it comes to anime stuff.
Nice.
So, Andrew Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us here on No Borders No Race today. And as always, please tell our listeners where they can check your shows out.
All right. Well, if you guys want to go listen to some wicked anime, perhaps you want to go over to the Nerdy Show Network, nerdyshow.com/wickedanimereviews, where you can find both our podcast and our videos, even though you can find our videos over on youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, where you can subscribe to us. But you can also find the podcast at soundcloud.com/wickedanime and on iTunes. And then, of course, you can find us all over the internet. You can find us at Twitter. You can tweet at us at Yo Wicked Anime, like you're actually being like, Yo Wicked Anime. You can tumble at us, or you can watch us tumble things at wickedanime.tumblr.com. And you can find us at facebook.com, where, like, oh my gosh, we get so much activity on Facebook. Facebook.com/wickedanime, where you can like our page over there and you can find our news and maybe even just chat with us. And of course, you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. Even if you just want to say hi, that's perfectly cool. And brand new to the Wicked Anime lineup on the interwebs, you can watch us. It's not up officially yet, but on the YouTube channel, we'll let you know. But we have a new gameplay channel called Wicked Anaplay on Twitch. Now that we have our PlayStation 4, we can just Twitch stream all we want straight from that PlayStation 4, and we plan on using it a lot. Stuff like Xenoverse, Naruto, friggin' Akiba's Trip, maybe even games like Bloodborne and Rocket League.
Yeah, Rocket League.
Rocket League's awesome!
Isn't it? Yeah.
So will you guys be doing the YouTube Live when that starts up too?
Yeah, probably. We could. I mean, that gives you the chat options and stuff like that, too, so that's kind of cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll have to make sure it works, because we've had some problem with Google stuff in the past.
Google chats
and,
are...
Yeah, and Twitch is working perfectly fine at the moment, so... But if the YouTube thing works out great, then, hey, YouTube is our main hub, so... What the heck? Why wouldn't we?
Right, exactly.
But either way, I have my Twitch channel set up. I have the Twitch channel set up so that it archives all of our gameplay, and then we can send that to YouTube and make highlight reels. So we'll just send all the highlights from our online gameplay to YouTube.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So for our listeners, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at themasters@bostonbassbrigade.com. You can find me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, on Twitter at king_baby_duck, and on Anime Amino at kingbabyduckesh. Like us on facebook.com/bostonbassbrigade and facebook.com/landofesh. For all other articles under the gaming and geek realm, go to egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. And don't forget about the other shows under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, Issues Program, and Structure Gaming. Whew! So, there will be no show next week due to a previous engagement. I'm going to be up in the mountains enjoying a little bit of a vacation. But the following week, No Borders No Race will be celebrating its official 100th podcast episode.
Woo! Good.
Yeah. Just what do we have in store? Seriously, what do I have in store? Help me out, guys! I don't know what to do for it!
Lots of porn. Limp Bizkit. Porn from Limp Bizkit. That sounds great.
That just sounds like a bad recipe for disaster.
That sounds like Limp Bizkit. Fred Durst all over that show.
No. Maybe my 12-year-old or 13-year-old, whatever year Limp Bizkit was popular, would be happy with that, but not the 30-year-old self right now. I'm sure I'll figure something out, folks. So hopefully the 100th episode will be worthy of being a 100th episode. So we are going to end today's episode with a new single from Spy Air, and this serves as the theme song for the new Japanese drama The Last Cop, which is airing on Hulu, sadly only in Japan, because I don't know, well, licensing, probably.
We'll just get your Ola set up.
What's Ola?
Well, if you it's a proxy. So if you have Firefox, you download Ola, and you can switch your proxy to any country in the world, and you can watch different regions.
Good to know.
Yeah. That'd so that's how you can know. Like, if you like, say you set up for like the UK, like you can change your Ola to the UK Firefox, and you can watch all the Crunchyroll shows that only the UK gets.
Huh. That is interesting. Well, hopefully with us talking about it on here, nothing's going to happen to it.
Yeah, right?
Bursting through our doors.
What is this?
Anyways, this is the new single from Spy Air. It's called Firestarter, and I hope you enjoy it. So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Jonathan from Wicked Anime.
Andrew from Wicked Anime.
Reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston, be a bastard. But it sure helps.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
そんな時間も今じゃ懐かしい。